Join with me in welcoming Pastor Al Stout to our pulpit. He'll be reading our scripture lesson for the sermon this day. But let us welcome him as we receive the word of the Lord, as he brings the word of the Lord to us. Brother, please come down. Thank you.
Hear the word of the Lord. Praise Yah. Sing to Yahweh a new song, and it is his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Israel rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with the tambourine and lyre. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and a two-edged sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all his godly ones. Praise Yah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let me just pray very quickly. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the day. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our very near kinsman, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. First off, let me just say thank you very much for the kind welcome I have received and my family, my wife, and the great care you have taken over my daughter and son-in-law. It has been a pleasure to hear reports back from them about their life here in this congregation. I bring you greetings from Providence Church in Pensacola, Florida, the first CRE church which with decent beach access. And if you would like to come visit us, just let us know, and we will make sure that that you have a wonderful time with us down there. There is another church with good beach access, but they're a further hour to the east of us, and you probably don't want to go see them anyway. No, you do. They're a great congregation as well. It feels like I've come home when I come in to this church. I see old friends and people we pray for every week, Blake Purcell. We pray for you every week in our congregation, and it's a joy. It is a real joy for me to be here today. In addition to Father's Day, this is a day of ordinary worship wherein we are brought out of our families and into the one great family, and we attend to the Father of us all. No matter our family situation outside of this time, from the call to worship through the reading, singing, communion, and benediction, we are united together into one body where there is no Jew, Greek, male, or female. This is a time of recognition that our earthly family is temporary. One of the marks of this new family is that the Church of God sings. We sing. We are to be saints known for raising our voices robustly in song. And our texts this morning are full of poetry and new creation. In the Beatitudes, there is the law of the new creation put in this Hebraic parallelism back and forth. In Revelation chapter 7, there are several songs being sung. And what Jesus said marked the law of the new covenant is now in full-throated possession of the church gathered around the throne. There is no longer hunger, and there is no longer thirst for righteousness, for that is fulfilled in Christ and in his kingdom. And here in Psalm 149, the psalmist exults in praise to the maker of this new kingdom. New songs pour out of him, this new creation. Instruments are employed, and the children dance. And by the way, it is a joy for me to hear the voices of your little ones in the midst of this congregation. Though it may be distracting to the parents, I assure you it is not distracting to me. It is an honor and a privilege to stand in the presence of little ones who very words, even in without their knowledge, bring praise to Almighty God. All of Scripture is filled with songs that come after creation. The very first words of Adam after he was created and he sees his new wife was a song. Ah, at last, this is bone of my bone, this is flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she comes out of man. All in a nice little indented paragraph in your scriptures, indicating at least poetry. I would say it is song that Adam sings. His first words are praise in a song. In Isaiah 51, there is this undoing of the heavens and an undoing of the earth, and this new creation results in the praise of the people of Israel in Isaiah 51. And here in Psalm 49, we have the people of God being urged again to put their words to music and put their words in song. And so I would urge you this morning to follow along with me as we go through this passage of Scripture. It is, first of all, necessary that you sing. It is necessary that you sing. There is not a culture that I am aware of that does not sing. And so the command to praise Yah is not burdensome in the abstract. Everyone sings. The difficulty is locating the audience and the object of that song. Sinful man wants to direct praise anywhere else, toward anyone or anything but his Maker. And the psalmist directs us to pour out our creative energy into praise of Yahweh. Praise Yah, he says. Sing to him a new song. For the man newly created, the old songs no longer hold the same place of honor in his life. Adultery's verse is now shameful. Drunkenness's tune does not inspire the dance, and the note of covetousness is now dissonance in the ear of the new man. New songs are needed. New songs are required. And the Lord himself encourages them, as we heard in the absolution this day, that God himself is a singer of song, singing over you. And if the Lord God would sing over you, how much more should you sing over the Lord? Note that he does not want you to sing by yourself, alone in your prayer closet, although that can be sweet at times. Our praise is meant for an assembled people. The singing that God plans for his people is for the assembly of the godly, he says. And as great as the Psalms are, they are at their fullest when sung in a congregation of believers. Why is that? It is because the object of praise is present with you when you gather. His presence in your life and his presence here in the midst of the people. And when David was separated from the people of God, when he was separated from the assembly, he says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned in the praise of your people. And yet for him, isolated by himself, though he was praising God, it seemed as if God was far away from him. These are new songs which proceed from this new creation. Let Israel be glad in his Maker. He's not talking about the Creator of all men here, but rather Israel was a special creation of God. He called Abram out of Ur and said he would make him a great nation, make his name great in Genesis chapter 12, the same root word in the Hebrew for make and making and maker together there. In Hosea 2, the sin of Israel had separated the Jews from Yahweh, and so it required a new creation, a recreation, if you will, of the people of Israel. He called them no mercy. He called them not my people because of their sin. But at the end of the chapter, he calls them back and says this, I will sow her for myself in the land, and I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. Be glad in your Maker and sing. Rejoice in the God who gives mercy. You have been made new, and you require new songs to sing. Paul and Peter both said this of you, the church. They said this, you have been made new. You have been recreated. You have been identified with the people of Israel in this new state of being. Romans chapter 9 and verses 24 through 26. Even us, whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles, As indeed, he says in Hosea, those who were not my people, I will call my people. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called sons of the living God. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. All of the terms that Peter used in that little section of Scripture were once applied to the people of Israel. You are now the new Israel. You have been recreated. You have been made new and brought together into a new body, one which should sing in response, even as Adam sang. The reasons for singing. I recently preached at the rescue mission in Pensacola, Florida, and I asked the men there a couple of questions. Does God love you? Hearty amens all across the room. These homeless men who had known the love of God in tangible form with bread and food and a place to sleep. And then I asked them, is God pleased with you? Nobody said anything at that point. But why is that? Does God not love you? Yes, he loves me. Is he not pleased with you? Whoa. But the psalmist here in verse 4 says, Yahweh delights in his people. Why do you sing? It is because God the Father loves you and is delighted with you. But doesn't he know how I lose my temper with my wife and my children? Yahweh delights in you. Does he not see my covetousness and see into my heart and my lusts and my hatreds? How can he take pleasure in me? How can I sing a new song? First off, let me say it's possible to be a hypocrite. It is possible to put words into your mouth that do not flow out of a heart that knows this to be true. These people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, God says. But to be the people of God is not to be sinless. And if you are humble, he says, if you are humble, he will adorn you with salvation as if he was putting a robe upon you. And Yahweh then says, I delight in you. And so we recognize this truth. We recognize this as the people of God, don't we? Every worship service is followed, every call to worship is followed by a confession of sin where we kneel. And knowing our hearts before God, we confess our sins out to him. Knowing that God knows our frame, we pour out our hearts to him in confession. We as a new people have stained ourselves, stained our garments. We have trafficked in sin. And so we humble ourselves as the people of God by kneeling together and confessing our sins. And after that, we stand and we sing praise to God. We are accepted in the beloved. And we are adorned with salvation because of it. And this idea of wearing our salvation is found repeatedly throughout Scripture, and it brings the idea of a festival with it, the idea of a party, the idea of joyful celebration, wearing wedding garments for the creation of a new family, husband and wife, out of Matthew chapter 22 and Revelation chapter 22, to be ordained, clothed with salvation is preparation for rejoicing. And so we sing in light of what God has done for us, taking our sin and casting it as far as the east is from the west. And so he lifts us from our knees and glorifies us with bright colors. And then he sings over us. All of this should lead you to joyful, full-throated, exuberant singing. Spurgeon said, "Herein is grand argument for worshiping the Lord with the utmost exaltation. He who takes such pleasure in us must be approached with every token of exceeding joy." We should be growing in our praise as we grow in our salvation. As the Lord brings us new clothing, we sing louder. As our further repentance is answered with further salvation, our hearts overflow with increased, effusant praise. That's our response. The reason there were no amens when I asked God if God was pleased with the men of the rescue mission is they did not understand what it meant to be joined to Christ. For when God the Father looks down on the Son and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him," that both of those clauses are placed upon us if we are united to him, beloved and well pleasing. We should sing. We should sing. In the psalm, this praise, this joyful thanksgiving turns into warfare. In verses 5 through 9, our exaltation is then carried out from the assembly into the world, into our homes, and into the battle for the kingdom. Singing is warfare. The progression of righteousness in Scripture flows outward from worship. Notice that it leaves the assembly and is carried to the home and not the other way around. It leaves the gathering of the godly and brings songs to the bedroom. The picture here is of a totality of life from morning to evening. At the end of your day, all of life is opportunity for praise and worship. Your homes should be places of joy, of singing, of worship, but it is not the center of worship. Rather, it catches the outflow of this assembly. It magnifies it and gathers it again to exultant glory. It is not sufficient to lay down and rest. It is not sufficient to lay on your bed reflecting on your joy and on God in verse 5. Rest, to be sure. You know, please take a nap. But when morning comes, then let the high praise of God be in your throats and the two-edged sword in your hands. We are about to sing about the warfare of the Son of God and wanting to know who goes with him. Well, the warfare of the Jews was a type, a picture of the warfare of the church, and that type was fulfilled in Christ. And the Scriptures tell us that when Jesus goes forth to war, he goes out with a two-edged sword in his hand. No matter which way it turns, it cuts. No matter which other weapon employed against it, it delivers a death blow. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit and the joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And that is best placed in your mouth in praise to God. Here's what your warfare will accomplish. Here's what your singing, the praise of God, will accomplish. Every nation will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. The worship of Jesus Christ, particularly the singing of his word, is this sharp two-edged sword, the binding of every nation. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord through the worship of the triune God. Vengeance is executed on the nations when we sing the psalms, and out of infants' mouths praise is sounded, bulwarks are founded. He breaks the adversary's force and thwarts his course. You sing this truth, you believe this truth. The judgment has already been written. The word of God is its final authority. The word of God is the final authority in the world. It has been written. The end is sure. The honor is set aside for the church. It is placed on your heads when you worship Christ. He has made you a little lower than the angels and crowned you with honor and glory. And you see that fulfillment in Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." In heaven, it is the humble recipients of salvation who lead this choir in praise. That is honor. That is glory. And the psalmist says, praise Yah for that. So how shall we then live? You are resurrected people. You have been resurrected today. The old things are behind you. Behold, all things have been made new. Therefore, it is incumbent upon you to sing. It is important. It is required that you sing in the assembly of the saints gathered on Sunday morning. If you are sitting back and slothful and content and allowing others to sing out without you joining in, I must tell you, you are in disobedience. Men, I must tell you that you are in disobedience if you are not leading in the singing. This is how you join with the Heavenly Father. If infant cries can praise God, I am absolutely certain that He can use your mistuned vocal cords to do the same. Now, earlier I said it's possible to be a hypocrite in this congregation. I want you to give up your hypocrisy and love the Lord your God. Don't misunderstand me. Here's a way to not give up your hypocrisy. Cut yourself off from the assembly. Cut yourself off from the assembly is a way to not give up your hypocrisy. Paul tells the church at Ephesus in chapter 5 of his letter to them, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ." Paul says basically, put away your foolishness, repent of your sins, sing, and learn to give thanks. Not in isolation, he says. Don't do this in isolation. Sing to one another. Address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make melody to the Lord through your conversation one with another, even in the midst of worship. And all of this is pictured in our worship. Respond to the call of the King. Respond when it goes out and be with His people on the Lord's day. And lastly, take the songs that you learn here and put them into the hearts, into the mouths of others. These are war songs, capable of tearing down defenses, binding kings, and expanding the kingdom. Conduct the warfare God has called you to. Follow in the train of Christ. Die to self. Bury whatever pride keeps you from singing. And pray for resurrection next Sunday. For that is who you are, people of God. You are a resurrected singing people. And I urge you to act like that. You are the singing saints of Almighty God. Praise Yah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask you, Father, to meet the word of God with your Spirit, that we might live and be holy before you. In the name of your Son, in the name of the Spirit, in the name of the Triune God. Amen.